The book of Ruth, chapter number 3 in the Old Testament. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. The Bible says, "Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." This is Naomi, who is speaking to her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And she says, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you to work in our hearts this morning as we study a simple truth from your word. Please encourage us, strengthen us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Let's go back just a little bit and maybe turn back to Ruth chapter number 1 and want to help you to understand what happens here in the story. We have this lady named Naomi. Let's look here in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." Here we have Elimelech and Naomi. They leave God's place. They leave Israel. They go down to Moab. And there they decide, "We're just going to stay in Moab for a little while." But they end up staying there quite a long time. There in Moab, Naomi's husband passes away. Naomi's husband dies. And there she's left now with her two sons. And her sons end up deciding, "We're going to take wives of the women of Moab," which was a different type of nation. It was a heathen nation. It's a word the Bible often uses because they did not believe in Jehovah God. They did not serve the same God. And here her two sons end up taking wives. But after about 10 years, the Bible says that her sons end up dying. So now you have Naomi, who was down in really what was a strange country for her. It was not her country. It was not her place. The people there were different in that they did not believe in the same Jehovah God of Israel. They did not serve Him. And now she's ends up that her sons dies, that she's left with two daughter-in-laws. And she decides, "Well, I think I'm going to go back to my home country. I think I'm going to go back to my homeland." And she tries to encourage the daughter-in-laws, "You probably should just stay here. This is your land. This is your country," and so on. And she determines to do that. But one of those daughter-in-laws determines, "No, I want to go with you. I want to go back to your country. I want to go back to your place. And go with me down further to verse 14. Afterwards, we see they've had this discussion. They've tried to determine, Naomi's tried to encourage them, "Just stay in your land. You know, I can't give you more sons to be able to take up the responsibility to marry you and take care of you and so on. You'd have to wait a long time for that. I'm an old woman." One of the daughter-in-laws decides, "Okay, I want to stay in Moab." But again, Ruth decides, "I want to go with you." It says in verse 14, "They lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law to say goodbye," in other words. "Okay, you're going, Naomi, you're going back to your land. I'm going to stay here." The Bible says, "But Ruth clave unto her." Ruth held on to her. "No, Ruth, I'm not, or Naomi, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to stay here alone. I want to go with you." And it says in verse 15, "And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave me or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." See, the one daughter-in-law, Orpah, said, "I'll stay in Moab, that's fine." But Ruth was, "No,
Entreat me not to leave thee. Don't make me stay here. Don't leave me here. I want to go back with you. I want your land to be my land. I want your people to be my people. I want your God to be my God. And here was Ruth that had this longing and love in her heart that she loved Naomi, but also somehow was making a choice that I want your God. I've seen the difference between the false gods of Moab and your God, Naomi, and I want your God. I want your God. And she believed that, and she desired that, and she wanted that. And so she goes. Finally, Naomi consents, and Ruth ends up going back with Naomi to her homeland. When she's back there in her homeland, now here she is, a widow. She does not have a husband. And some interesting things take place. The Bible says, look over in chapter number 2. Chapter 2. And actually, if you read at the end of verse 1, at the end of 22, it says that when they came back to Bethlehem, it was in the beginning of the barley harvest. It was in the time of harvest for the wheat. For the barley, for the grain. And verse chapter 2 says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let us go now to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Just by happenstance, just by chance, she happened to actually go to reap some of the grain right in the field of this Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi. It says in verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? You see, this woman named Ruth, she caught his eye. Who is this damsel? Who is this woman? It says there in verse number 6, and the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Boaz's eyes began to be set upon this woman named Ruth. And Boaz became infatuated with her. Boaz was, if you will, falling in love with her. She was catching his eye. And the Bible, as we would go on and read the story, the Bible tells us that Boaz ended up later, you know, telling his servants, you make sure that when you're harvesting the barley, you're harvesting the grain in that certain section, make sure that you leave lots of gleanings there for Ruth to be able to collect. Because some of the men and the workers, the harvesters, would go and they would gather the grain. But really it was what was ended up being left over in the field that some of these women and others that were needy and so on, or poor people or widow people, they were allowed to go through the fields and gather those gleanings. And Boaz, who was the one who owned all these fields and so on, he said to his harvesters and to the men, I want you in these areas where Ruth is, I want you to make sure that you don't really reap at all the harvest. I want you to make sure you drop extra there on the field. I want there to be more there left for her. And Boaz continued to do some things like this. And they had some acquaintances, they had some opportunities where they met each other and so on. And there was times even where Boaz sent some grain, sent some barley back with Ruth, and you can take this back for you and your mother-in-law, take it back for you and Naomi. And he was expressing and showing his love to this woman named Ruth. Well, Ruth, she was getting taken by Boaz as well. She thought, well, he's a handsome man. He's a handsome man, and he's a strong man, and he's got good fields and has servants under him. And Ruth was falling in love with him as well. And it's an interesting love story that takes place in the book of Ruth. But there ends up being a little problem. In some Jewish custom there, with her now being a widow,
There was a custom that there would be a kinsman redeemer. There would be a family member that could choose to take that widow woman and perhaps choose her and make her as their wife. And they could have the care for her, and they would make her part of her family. Well, it turned out that Boaz was not the nearest kinsman redeemer. He was a relative, but there was another relative that was closer related that could have the first option, if you will, that who it could have been their responsibility to take Ruth and make her their wife and care for her. Well, this, of course, was concerning to Ruth, and this was concerning to Boaz. And what would they do? And at a time when Naomi, the mother-in-law, is getting involved in her matchmaking, trying to get Ruth hooked up with Boaz, she sends him to Boaz one night. And again, there was a custom that they could lay at the foot of the bed, if you will, where a person would see they go and lay at their foot to express their desire that they would one day, you know, like to be that person's spouse. And she does this, and anyways, there's things that take place. And Ruth is concerned. She's worried. She really wants Boaz to be her husband. She wants to be taken by him and become his wife. And Boaz, really, as we read the story, he wants the same thing. And Ruth, I think, was having feelings of worry, feelings of concern. And that's where this verse, this verse that we read comes into place. We're in Ruth 3 and verse 18. Look at it again, Ruth 3:18. Naomi is speaking to the daughter-in-law of Ruth, and she says, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Naomi is speaking to Ruth, and she says, "Sit still, daughter. Just sit still. Don't worry about it. Don't get all wrought up and too concerned about something that, listen, you've got no control over. You can't control the circumstance." She says, "Sit still until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man," referring to Boaz, "and he'll not be unrest until the matter is settled, until the matter is taken care of." She says, don't worry, Ruth. Boaz is a good man, and I'm sure Boaz will figure out a way to make it all happen, that he can be the kinsman redeemer, and you'll be able to marry him, and you can be husband and wife. Sit still, Ruth. Sit still. Don't worry about it until thou know how the matter will fall. Sit still until you know how the situation, the difficulty, is all going to be worked out, if you will. As I was studying for our theme and our learning how to sit messages, I read this verse and I thought, what good advice that was that Naomi gave to Ruth. Good advice. Naomi says to Ruth, "You sit still and don't you worry about anything. Sit still and stop worrying. Don't worry. Boaz will figure it out. Boaz will make sure that things get worked out, and he'll be able to be your husband and you'll be able to be his wife. Sit still. Ruth, you're all too worked up. You're like a young girl again, all excited, and you're hoping that you've caught the eye of this man. And so, don't worry, if it be the Lord's will, it's all going to work out. Sit still until thou know how the matter will fall." It was good advice that Naomi gave to Ruth. She was telling her, in other words, don't worry about things that are out of your hand. Don't worry about things that are out of your control. Don't worry about it. You can't do anything about it. You can't change anything about it. Just leave it up to Boaz and trust him. And as I thought about that advice that Naomi gave to Ruth, I thought, boy, that's good advice for how we need to deal with things in life. There are times where we just need to sit still and stop worrying about some things until thou know how the matter will fall. Sit still. Don't worry. Trust God that He can work everything out.
God is in control and God's in charge and God knows what this situation may be in your life or in your family or in your circumstances. And stop worrying about it, Christian. Just sit still and trust God that He'll work everything out. I titled the message, Sit Down and Relax. Sit down and relax. Relax. I thought of calling the message, Sit Still and Chill Out. Some of you would maybe understand the expression, some wouldn't, but sit still and just chill out. Chill out. Quit being so uptight and so anxious and so worried about, how's it going to work out? Oh, I wanted this. And now sit still and chill out. Relax. Stop worrying about things and trust God that He can work the things out in your situation. Sit still and stop worrying. Sit still and stop worrying. That advice that Naomi was giving to Ruth is good advice for every one of us. We just need to sit down and relax. Sit still and chill out. Sit still and stop worrying. Look with me at a couple of verses this morning, if you would, in the New Testament. Turn over to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. The Apostle Paul here gives the same advice to a church here at Philippi. Philippians chapter 4, beginning there in verse number 6, it says, Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. That those words really mean, quit being so anxious. Quit worrying so much. Quit being so concerned. Be careful for nothing. Quit being so anxious about what's going on. Quit worrying so much about what's going on. And he says this in response. Here's what you should be doing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul tells them, stop worrying. Sit down and relax. Stop being so anxious about things. Stop being so concerned about something. Hey, there may be things that are out of your control. There may be situations where it's out of your hand. You can't determine the outcome. And relax and quit worrying about it. And trust God. Pray about it, he says. Pray about it. Maybe that the only thing you can do is pray. You can't change the situation, but he says you can pray. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7 says, And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what God wants. He wants you to sit still and relax. Sit down and relax. Stop worrying. Stop being anxious. Pray about it. And then let the God of heaven be able to give you a peace that will pass all human understanding. Sometimes in our life, isn't there maybe decisions that we have to make? Boy, it's a hard decision to make. Or what if there's a circumstance that is really out of our control? There are things that we wish, I wish this would happen now. I wish this happened the way I expected it to and when I expected it to happen, and it's not happening that way. What is God's advice to us? Sit down and relax. Sit still and chill out. Stop worrying. Pray and trust God and let Him give you the peace that can help to rule in your heart and rule in your mind. Listen, there are times where I face things and you face things where we don't understand it. Why is this not happening the way I kind of want it to happen? We're not to worry. We're to let God's peace rule in our hearts and in our minds. He goes on in verse 8 and says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. See, Paul says you're to keep your mind on certain things. Keep your things that are pure and honest and lovely and of good report. We could be so concerned, so worrying about some things sometimes. And Paul says, no, instead, why don't you think about some things that are good? You're thinking about how difficult the situation is. You're thinking about how something is so bad. You're thinking about how something isn't working out the way that you expected it to work out. And you're worrying and you're anxious and your heart is just overwhelmed by the whole thing. And he says, no, you think about good things. You instead pray and bring your request to God and let God's peace rule in your heart and mind. That's the response God wants us to have. Sit down and relax. Pray about it.
There may be things that are out of your control that we... Listen, anything that seems to be something that we could change or manipulate or work out, it seems like our human flesh always wants to do that. We always want to try to make things happen the way we want them to happen. But God is someone who wants us sometimes to just sit down and relax and quit trying to change things that we can't change and just trust Him for what He's doing or what He's allowing or what He may be bringing in our life. Turn with me quickly over to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. We see another example here in the Scriptures of where God basically gives the same type of advice to His people. In Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 25. We sang that song this morning for a purpose. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Why? Because that's what God wants you to do. Heard the words of the songs we sang? Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious what shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled? Tell it to Jesus. Listen, it doesn't matter what it may be. God wants you to sit still and stop worrying and bring some cares to the Lord. Don't worry about continually trying to press something or change something or make something that we can't change or we have no control of. Trust God. Trust God. Here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 25. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, it was Jesus speaking, and He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, in other words, the birds of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye much better than they?" He says, consider the birds. They don't gather a harvest. They don't go out and plant some seeds. They're not farmers. You know, they don't have a barn where they keep all their harvest and keep all their crops and so on, keep all the grain. No, God feeds them. God provides them for them. God takes care of them. They don't have to worry. And He says, you need to be like those birds where you stop worrying. You just sit still, sit on your little perch on your tree, sit there on the ground and wait. Hey, God's going to give you some worms and God's going to give you some food. Hey, God's going to give you something to eat. Sometimes as Christians, we can worry way too much about what's going to happen. And will God meet these needs? Or will God make this certain thing happen just the way I want? God says to stop worrying about things so much and trust Him. He's able to take care of you. Goes on in verse number 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon was one of the kings in the Bible who had great wealth and great abundance at times in his life. But he said, even Solomon doesn't have it as good as the birds have it. God takes care of them where they don't have to worry about a thing. Every morning they can know, I'm going to go find me some worms. God's going to feed me some food today. I can just get up and know that God's going to take care of me. I can trust Him. The birds don't have to worry about a thing. God says, don't worry so much. Don't be so concerned thinking, how can I add to me? How can I build my stature? How can I make sure I have everything I want and everything I need and every circumstance of my life is exactly the way that I want it? I don't know. There are things that are out of our control. There are things that we can't always figure out. And God says, I want you to learn to trust me. Trust me. Verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God's advice here is, you seek first the kingdom of God. And don't you worry. You may feel like, I've got needs. I've got physical needs. I'm concerned about my future. I'm concerned about my finances. I'm concerned about these situations in my life. God says, don't you worry about it. You seek God first. You put God first in your life. And trust Him that He will work those things out in your life. He will take care of those basic needs that you have in your life. God's not going to forget all about you.
He's not going to neglect you. In the book of Psalms, don't remember what chapter, but there's a verse that makes a promise. It says how he's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Listen, if you're seeking God and you're seeking His righteousness and you're seeking to put Him first, God will take care of you. He will take care of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. He says, oh, don't you be all worried about tomorrow. Don't you be all concerned about the future. Don't you be worrying so much. Don't you be anxious so much. Don't you be so fretting or fearful. God's got it all worked out. God knows what tomorrow holds. God knows what the future holds. Remember what Naomi said to Ruth? Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. Listen, God's got your future worked out. He knows exactly what He wants to happen. Trust Him. Trust Him. Just look at one more verse with me, please, if you would. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 28. You know what God's advice is to us? Sit still and chill out. Sit still and stop worrying. Sit down and relax. Trust me. I've got your future worked out. I've got tomorrow figured out. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. The Bible says this, and we know, that's a certainty, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Listen, God knows what's going on in your life. And there may be times where there's things where I don't understand why this is going like it's going. Or I have these concerns, or I have these worries. It says, I don't want you to worry. I want you to trust me. Do you know that any time we are being overcome with worry and anxiety and so on, what it really shows is that we're not trusting God like we should. Really, anxiety and worry, when God says, I don't want you to worry, I want you to trust me, really shows that we're not trusting Him like we should. We're being overcome by our flesh to worry and be anxious and trying to figure things out way too much. When God says, I want you to trust me, I know what your tomorrow holds. I know what the future holds. I want you to trust me that I can take care of you. You're concerned about your job. You're concerned about health. You're concerned about your family. Are there things in your life that are situations that you can do nothing to change and you're so worried about it? God's advice in the book of Philippians was to don't worry about it, but to bring your requests to the Lord. Take your prayers to the Lord. Let God's peace rule in your heart. Let God's peace rule in your mind. All things do work together for good to them that love God. Naomi's advice to Ruth was sit still. Sit still. Until thou know how the matter will fall. Sit still, Ruth. It's out of your control. It's out of your hand. Every one of us, especially men, but frankly everybody, we always think, I've got strength and ability to do something. You know, we think we're smart enough, we think we're strong enough to maybe make something happen or figure out a situation. But there are so many times where God says, I don't want you to just figure it out on your own. I want you to sit still and relax and trust me. And Ruth had to do that. There was nothing she could do. She desperately, with all her heart, wanted to marry Boaz. Wanted it to be that Boaz could be her husband and they could be a family. But she couldn't change anything about the circumstances, that there was another one who was a closer family member that would have had the right to take her and marry her and be her husband. She could not change that. And Naomi says, sit still until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man, talking about Boaz, will not be in rest until he has finished the thing this day. Ruth had to trust that Boaz,
the kinsman redeemer would do what was necessary to be able to bring them together. You know, what an amazing parallel that is to the truth that we must trust our kinsman redeemer to do what is necessary to save us and make us a part of God's family. Do you know that we have a kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ? And in this story of Ruth and Boaz, it's a wonderful picture of us as sinners who are lost and we're condemned. The Bible teaches us that because of our sin, we're condemned, we're lost, we're guilty. We're not deserving at all of God's grace. We're not deserving of a home in heaven. We're not deserving of being the children of God. But we have a kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who left heaven and came to earth to die on the cross for us, to make a way for us to be saved, to make a way for us to be forgiven, to make a way so that we too could be joint heirs with Jesus and brought into the family of God. The only begotten Son of God, our kinsman redeemer, made a way so that we too could become the sons and daughters of God, so that we could become the children of God, so that we could be a part of God's family. What a wonderful thing that is. Do you understand something? There's absolutely nothing that you and I could do to make it happen. But yet sometimes people are struggling, doing everything they can to make it happen. They're doing all they can to try to work their way to heaven. They're trying to do all they can to be good enough to, oh, I need to please God. I need to gain His favor so that I can be His child and so that I can go to heaven. Listen, the Bible is abundantly clear. There is absolutely nothing we can do to save ourselves. Nothing. It is out of our control that we could not save ourselves from our sin. We needed a kinsman redeemer. We needed the only begotten Son of God who was perfect and sinless to die on the cross for us and be that sacrifice, be our substitute to pay the penalty for our sin. We can only be a part of His family. Why? Because of what He's done. You know, for a person to be saved, they have to totally trust and depend on what Jesus Christ did for them. We don't get saved by our good works and by our working our way to heaven, by our earning the favor of God, by our making sure we've got a lot of good on our ledger. We've got more good on the scale than we've got bad and trying to weigh it in our favor so that God will be pleased with our lives. No, we can't do that. We can only be saved because of what our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, did for us. For a person to be saved, they have to sit down and relax. They can't work their way to heaven. They have to realize, I need to trust Jesus Christ. As a sinner, I'm lost and condemned, and only Jesus can save me. Only He can. Only He can make a way. And I'll only get to heaven by putting my faith and trust in Him. That's how salvation comes. Not because we work it, not for it, not because we figure out a way to heaven, not because we've earned it or deserved it, but because Jesus made a way. The kinsman redeemer made a way. Just like if you'll read through the whole book of Ruth, Boaz made a way. He worked things out. And the story ends wonderfully that he ends up being able to be that kinsman redeemer and he becomes Ruth's husband. She becomes his wife. Only Jesus can make a way for you to be saved, and you have to trust Him. Hey, if you're in life had a lot of worries, a lot of anxiety, a lot of concerns, a lot of trying to figure things out on your own. I'm sure I have a lot, many times, many days. And we're all prone to that in our human flesh nature, to depend on ourselves, to figure things out ourselves. And maybe we can become worrisome about things sometimes, or what's going to happen, or we become anxious about tomorrow. And God says, I don't want you to be anxious. I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to fret. I don't want you to fear. I want you to sit down and relax. I want you to sit down and stop worrying. I want you to sit down and trust God. That's what God wants. Naomi's advice to Ruth, sit still until thou know how the matter will fall. Things are sometimes out of your control. But remember that God's in control. God's in control. Sometimes that thought, we don't think about that like we should, and we're just too worried. God's in control. Things may be out of our control, But they're never out of His control. Sit down and relax. Sit down and stop worrying. Sit still and chill out. We need to trust God. Trust God. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word and this lesson we can learn. We see it true, Lord, in the life of Ruth and how she had to follow the advice of Naomi. And Lord, as we look through the Word of God, we see that that's Your advice to us. That's Your counsel to us. You don't want us to relax. You want us to not live a life of worry and anxiety. You want us sometimes to just sit down or stop working so hard to figure everything out on our own. And You want us to trust You to figure everything out. Trust You that You've got a plan and You've got a purpose in our life. And You are working things out for our good and for our best. Father, help us to trust You. Help us to sit down and wait on You. Sit down and relax. Sit down and trust You like we should.